Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. I am so not sure what's going on with my music, but that sounded horrific. Just, oh my goodness. Let's move on from the music and hope that the outro isn't so muffled. Anyway, welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am so excited today to bring you my guest, Heidi Bratton. Her book, Finding God's Peace in Everyday Challenges, put the S there, Allison, in your typing. Anyway, 100 Meditations for Women, out now from The Word Among Us Press. And I welcome to the show, Heidi Bratton. Heidi, welcome.
Thank you, Allison. I am so happy to be here.
It's so wonderful to hear your voice. I've been sharing this week that you and I had the pleasure of meeting. Now we figured out it was 2009. So, yep. And then you upped and moved from our beloved Massachusetts to Michigan, and I never got to see you again. So it's so wonderful to hear your voice.
I know, but I'm coming back this winter too. So maybe I'll see you then. I do come back sometimes.
Well, that would be wonderful. Now you're coming back for a retreat. Is that correct?
I am, yes. It's a retreat by the Little Daughters of the Sacred Heart. It's going to be held in Massachusetts. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful group. They bring in speakers. They're having the main speaker is actually Father Pat, the singing priest. You guys probably all know him.
Ironically or godsidentally, I'm going on retreat tonight and he's doing the opening mass.
Oh,
how funny is that?
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, well, he's the main speaker. I get to do a little, I'm like the opening act, right? Friday night, I'll be speaking there on some of the things. The topic is Pour Love In, which is it's a paraphrase of pour love in where you find none and you will draw love out, from St. John of the Cross.
So, oh, that's beautiful.
Which of us doesn't need some of that encouragement, huh?
Oh, amen. And it's at Batania, too. Have you ever been to Batania, too, in Medway, Massachusetts?
I have not.
It is a beautiful retreat facility. It has outdoor, and it was February. I don't know how much outdoor you'll get to do, but there's outdoor Stations of the Cross. The chapel is absolutely breathtaking. It's not like the old, the fancy stained glass. It's just very humble, but yet beautiful. The pictures of our Blessed Mother in the chapel are beautiful. So I think you'll really enjoy your time at Batania too. And now, is this open to anyone to attend, or do you have to be a daughter?
Nope, it is. It's hosted by the Little Daughters, and you can contact a woman's name is Marie Thibodeau. She's a gem, known her for almost 30 years now. She started it, and her Gmail. Do you have her Gmail? Can that be posted somewhere, or should I give it?
I will link right to her, and because I have all the information that you sent me, and that way it's easier, instead of trying to write it down while people are either driving or listening. So I will make sure that that's linked in our show notes. It sounds wonderful, and it's in February.
The weekend of the 17th to the 19th.
And it's at Batania too, and Medway, Massachusetts. Heidi Bratton and Father Pat, the singing priest. He's a La Salette priest. My retreat this weekend's at La Salette in Attleboro, so that's how he's doing the opening mass for us.
Marvelous! That'll be great.
Cool stuff. So again, it's so wonderful to hear you. Maybe in February, I'm gonna look at my calendar and see if I can attend. It would be wonderful to see you.
Yes, that'd be great.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, let's see. I am your average Catholic person, having come through, the 1960s all the way up to today. I was born in the 60s. I wasn't alive really a lot of that, but
me too.
No, I was raised in the church in the very traditional sense of that. So that by the time I got to college, it really wasn't more than Christmas or Easter and a sort of nice, polite tapping on my life. It wasn't integrated at all, if you want to think of it that way. But I was blessed that the Lord didn't give up on me, didn't think that was enough for me, wanted more for me. And when I met my husband, when I was in college, he had a faith that was integral to his life. It was very different than what I had ever experienced. His prayer, his going to Mass, his going to adoration, going to all the sacraments, and really asking, does God want me to do this? Does God not want me to do this? It was a whole new look, a whole new spin on faith that was very, very attractive. And as a result, I became involved in Bible studies in college. And also just sacramentally started participating in services, not just attending. I was in the choir or Eucharistic adoration, EM, those sorts of things. And so I guess that the term that's being used is be called a revert. I was a revert to my faith.
Yes, that's the term I use because I am as well, not a convert. I like that word revert because we were converted back to the faith. We were brought back to the faith, but we were not brought from a different faith. We were just reintroduced and re-excited. I think revert is a great, I love that word. I use it all the time because your story is so similar to mine, including the Bible study. For me, the scriptures are what really, I want to say sold me, but yes, it really was.
Yeah. I guess if you do look at it, I am so grateful my parents introduced me to the faith and brought me up and brought me to the sacraments. And they didn't have within their ability to introduce me to the person of Jesus Christ as my Savior and all that I know today about how to integrate faith into my life. But I'm so grateful for that foundation. And it was just the spark that God needed to then light on fire my own faith life when I dove into scripture and when I started talking with others who believe and how they lived and how that was different than just keeping God kind of set apart and as like that icing on my life versus, you know, all integrated in and, you know, caramelized through my life.
I love that.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing to have gone through pretty young before I actually got married and be living now.
That is such a blessing. I was in my mid-30s before I discovered scripture. But like you shared about the sacraments, and in case you don't know what those are, the baptism is, it's, you know, we share a baptism with our Christian brothers and sisters, you know, in the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit. And then in the Catholic faith, we have a confirmation. It happens usually as a teenager where we seal our baptism. It was explained to me as like, that's when you decide, like your parents chose the faith, but now you kind of reaffirm that decision. But that's not exactly what happened because there's also the cultural Catholic that just goes through all the steps. And then the other sacraments, of course, the Eucharist, which we receive in Mass, or you can go to adoration, which I talk about all the time on the show, and reconciliation, which is one of my favorite things in the world, confession, which I used to be a chicken for, but now I see it as such a gift that we have, you know, for the sacraments to a Catholic, these are an outward sign of God's like invisible love for us. Like they're tangible. I don't know about you, but I'm a hands-on woman. Like I need to see things. I need to, like, I love the bells and whistles of the Mass.
Yes.
I love the smells and bells, as they say.
Yep. That is actually a lot of how I also experience the Lord in my life. And when I'm writing all of my books, but this one, especially the Finding God's Peace, is it was a very tangible, what does peace look like? Like, show me what that looks like, Lord, in this area of my life and in that area of my life. And as I was writing, I really felt like God was helping me find analogies that were modern enough that most women could really relate. And so, you know, the book's for young women, 20 to 80 years old and beyond, you know, it's a broad spectrum of application of this idea that I think each of us hungers for peace and calm and stability in all these different areas of our life. And we're challenged to find it. But with that desire, I hope that my book comes right into that point of desire and then gives some actual tools and actual stories. It's full of stories from you've got one in there. You've got, you know, all sorts of people that are in my life have contributed. And I was really grateful because that makes it really speak to more women, too.
I so enjoyed spending the last 2 days here on A Seeking Heart talking all about finding God's peace in everyday challenges, 100 meditations. You really left nothing unturned. When we come back from these messages, we're going to continue our conversation with Heidi Bratton, today's guest and author of this week's book, Finding God's Peace, out from the Word Among Us Press. To learn more about Heidi, go to HeidiBratton.com. That's BRATTON.com. I'll have that link for you in the show notes. And during the commercial break, if you're looking for something fun to do, go to ReconciledToYou.com, click on Radio Show, and enter this week's mega giveaway. There is 11 prizes and only one more day to enter. We have books and, of course, that beautiful bracelet from GalesDesigns.com. Gail's Designs is red and sparkly. I love red and sparkly with brass accents and a gorgeous religious medallion, which I should know. I think it's the Divine Mercy. I know I said yesterday I was going to look it up, but I think the envy in me is not allowing me to really fully look at the bracelet because I can't enter. I can't enter the contest. I can't have it, but you can. You could also go to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras on Facebook and enter there. Please stay tuned. We have much more with Heidi Bratton right here on A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am joined this morning by author Heidi Bratton. We're looking at her book, Finding God's Peace in Everyday Challenges, 100 Meditations for Women, Word Among Us Press. You can go to wau.org for more information on the book and other wonderful books from Word Among Us Press, or you can visit Heidi's website, HeidiBratton.com. And of course, I will have, when I get around to it, in the show notes. I'm leaving on retreat, so I have been so behind this week, but I promise next week all the show notes will be up. The links will be there. And as always, if I say something on air and I don't put it out there quick enough, send me a message, Alison@breadboxmedia.com. I promise you I will respond immediately. I'm very good at email. I'm not so good at show notes.
Know what you're good at.
I'm very authentic. I am who I am, as they say. So finding God's peace in everyday challenges. Now, you went through many different avenues of different places where we find peace. But first, I want to know how the book came to be.
Well, this was one of those author's dreams, honestly, Alison. I had been writing for about 7 years a column in our regional Catholic newspaper, The Anchor, and I had just put out a book based on those columns called Homegrown Faith, Nurturing Your Catholic Family. And I had, like we talked earlier, I'd moved to Michigan, and I was just really prayerfully asking the Lord, should I continue with that column now that I had moved? I did continue for about 2 years, but then I just felt like he was asking me to let it go. And I did, but very sorrowfully, very like, okay, peel my fingers off it. And don't you know, the day I emailed Father Landry and said, I'm sorry, I have to, you know, pull back. I can't do this anymore. The day after that, I got an email from Word Among Us Press from Patty Mitchell, an editor there, saying, hey, I'm interested in this kind of book. Would you be willing to write it for us?
Oh, my gosh. That's so cool.
You know, I would have never said yes had I had that column commitment. And I would have never given up a column for a book because I'd have felt that was like wrong or like, you know, whatever. I shouldn't do that. But I had been released by my yes to what I felt God was saying so that I could then say yes to this book when she called and said, we'd really like this. Could you write it?
That is That is so remarkable. And I was very blessed to have been in that region where the column existed, the Fall River Diocese, where we both lived. I still live. And yeah. Your column was just, it was one of the highlights in the Anchor. The Anchor is a great little, you know, regional diocesan newspaper, but your column is sorely missed in it. I have to be honest with you. So during the break, I asked you if you were still writing a column, and you said you're only at catholicmom.com.
Yes. Like, and I love being there. That is such an incredible place to write and collaborate with great Catholic writers. I love that place.
Absolutely. In fact, today we have the daily gospel reflections, and today is mine. I was so excited
because there you go.
You write them so early, and I forget about them. And it's Saint Martin de Porres, so one of my favorites. So I'll be sharing that over on A Seeking Heart with Allison Jinger's Facebook page if I haven't already. I think I did it on Reconciled to You. But you were also, you and I share the pages of a book together.
Yes, we do.
From Ave Maria Press, The Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion. What a wonderful reflection book.
Oh, I've been handing that one out like, you know, napkins as well, because it's so good.
I was thinking like Halloween candy, but I love that, and like napkins.
Oh, when you have a table full of little kids and they're eating, it's napkins all around.
That is a fabulous analogy. The Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion, Ave Maria Press. We did a whole big week on that, so I'll make sure I link to those as well. I was blessed to have Lisa Hendy on and Sarah Reinhart, the two co-editors of that wonderful book. Now, but in your book, it's similar in this, like, I love using these little books for my morning prayer time. I have a basket, and it's like they're lined up. And some days I'm really blessed to get an hour and I can read something from each of them. And some days I have to pick and choose what I need. And finding God's peace, I have to say that peace, I'm like, wait, I need peace. So here's some of the different categories, and then we can kind of break them down. So there was peace within our relationship with the Trinity, in our human relationships, in our activities, peace in our schedules. Oh, I loved that. I love that section, by the way.
Oh, good.
Peace in our resources, finances. Oh, yeah, I spend a lot of time in that one as well. Peace with our physical surroundings. That was very unique and special. We'll talk about that as well. And peace in our culture and our institutions. And I teased this week that the timing of a book on finding God's peace was quite God-cidental. So let's step back a little bit. And, you know, there's a part in here I wanted to talk about. I didn't get to talk about earlier. One of the things that's been really difficult, I think, this week with everything going on is social media has just been ugly and not fun to be on.
Oh, yeah.
In Finding Peace, you have here the flower bombing.
Yeah. That was so fun.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you know, sometimes you want something so badly, right, that you go straight for it. I have this argument with this person. I have this disagreement, or I have this, I just need everyone to know how I feel or what I think is right. And that happens on social media a lot. Because it's very one way. I know you have comments and stuff like that, but it's very one way. And the problem is that peace isn't a thing that you can go out and get. You can't have it because you want it. You have it as a fruit of other activities.
Ah.
And that's a really important part about my whole book, is to understand how it is that the fruit of contemplating, I can say that word. Yes, I can. The fruit of contemplating, the fruit of worship, the fruit of being in the Lord's presence in Mass with fellow believers is to be brought to a new frame of mind, to be brought where grace can pour in more easily. And then you can feel your body relax. You can feel your mind let go of all those little arguments and little things that you've got to say, because you have aligned yourself with that vertical dimension of your faith, which is towards God. And then the horizontal dimension, which is towards people, which can be expressed in all these social medias, becomes much more charitable and much, much like full of peace, right? Full of peace. So yeah. One morning I was just really super tired of all the, I don't know, the Facebook stuff and the comparative and the competitive and the, and also, you know, being apart, having moved a lot in my adult life, apart from a lot of my friends. So sometimes social media is the best we can do. Yeah. And I just decided I had this beautiful bouquet of flowers in front of me that my husband had given me, and it was blooming. It was gorgeous. Roses, I think they were white in the sunlight. And I just took pictures of them and I uploaded them, and I just put them on all of my friends' sites, just saying, love you, have a beautiful day, you are gorgeous, that kind of thing. And that's it. That's all I did. And the sense in my life of like, I have contributed good here.
Yes, very.
Brought me that peace that I had been seeking in not that there was conflict in the relationships, but that they weren't a part of my daily life. I couldn't connect with those people that I love, but here I could. And flower bombing. So
I love that.
You can't send someone a real bouquet to their house or all the dozens of people I wanted to, but I could send it to their Facebook page.
And you are such a talented photographer. I love your children's books. Can you tell us the name of your children's series with those beautiful photographs that you've taken?
Yes. Yeah, so there's a couple of them. The very first one is Walking with God. There's 8 books in that series. And then there's the Celebrate series, which is the most recent one. And there's 4 in that series. And they're all photo illustrated, just basic concepts for kids, but also for parents. Like, I learned my faith, as I shared, I really came back to my faith in college. And then when we were having our young family, it was reading all those really good faith-based picture books.
It's true.
Really taught me. I was a secondary audience, and I'm very aware of that when I'm writing my books, is that we've got both the child and the parent that we're helping to see God in a new way, in an imaginative way, in a beautiful way. That's what picture books are for, right? To stoke our imaginations and bring us beauty. So when I my photo illustration is one of the things I love.
We have the Celebrate series here, and it was, you know, my daughter being deaf and her, you know, she doesn't understand. When we first got her home, she had no language, and to be able to share those books with her was really a gift, which I never got to tell you that really, like, thank you for that, because being able to share our faith through imagery when we didn't have words was truly a godsend. So I'm going to get all emotional, but thank you, because they're beautiful and you have such a great talent. Again, my guest today is Heidi Bratton. She is a wonderful photographer. If you have not seen any of her books, I'm going to link to all of them. If you have Christmas is coming, great stocking stuffers, finding God's peace in everyday challenges. There's even some beautiful image. You've got some photography in here as well. And the children's books, like, I just, I'm so glad we talked, because my friends are missionaries in Haiti. And just today I sent her a message saying, what do you want for the kids for Christmas? And she said, they need winter clothes, because they're in Haiti and they're coming back for the winter. She said, and Catholic gifts. And just as you were speaking, I thought, oh, I know exactly what Catholic gift they are getting to share their faith.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome. With baby number 4 on the way. These are just, they're so beautiful. So I'm going to link to those. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about finding God's peace in everyday challenges. Maybe look a little bit at that physical surroundings that we talked about. I just thought that was so unique. We're talking today again with Heidi Bratton, and you're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're joined this morning by Heidi Bratton, and we're talking about her book from Word Among Us Press, Finding God's Peace in Everyday Challenges, 100 Meditations for Women. And I talked about it for the last 2 days, so if we don't get to something today that tickles your fancy, trust me that I did on yesterday's show or the day before Wednesday's show, because there's just so much in here. There's 100 things in here, actually, for us to cover. The one of the things I wanted to look at was this idea of avoidance mode. Like, I'm a procrastinator, and I was sharing with you right before we went live that I heard on the radio this guy, it's a commercial for something, and he said, "I'm no amateur procrastinator. I am a procrastinator." Well, that's me.
Fantastic.
And my procrastination truly does come from avoidance. And this one here on page 50, talk about like reconciling the monthly budget or cleaning the litter box or two small things that I can routinely try to lock behind 10-foot thick concrete walls. So yeah. Tell me a little bit about this whole idea of procrastinating. And I think you actually tie this into confession.
Yeah, this one is. It's tied into something that another author, obviously well-known, Matthew Kelly, talks about getting to confession and what is it that's stopping you. So I tie this avoidance mode, but it really goes into anything that we know is right or good or that we've just decided we want to do. We've heard God ask us to do. And why aren't we doing it? You know, why aren't we doing it? The idea here is that we just put kind of this block in front of ourselves and we avoid it because, and then we fill in the blank, we fill in that wall with all the reasons why we can't yet do it. We're not saying it's not good. We're not saying we haven't felt called. We're just saying it's not yet. Well, as you know, not yet is procrastination. And it can go on indefinitely. There's really no way to solve not yet. The only thing that happens there is there's another not yet. So the idea is, again, in managing our time so that we have the peace that we want to do the things we want, we just make a choice in advance to say, for example, in the little meditation here, going to confession, we make a choice in advance of actually walking through that confessional that A, it's important, B, I want to do it, and C, then it's worth my time to schedule it.
That's such a good point.
It's worth my time because I do that with a doctor. I do that with a dentist. My bank account does that for me. All my bills do that for me, right? So when we get to things that we may feel are optional, like, you know, things God's called us to do or just all of those good and right behaviors that we know. But there's nobody forcing us to do them. There's nobody forcing us into a schedule. We need to do that ourselves. So that's what this breaking through that wall is about. It's just saying, okay, you know what? Not yet doesn't exist for me.
Yeah.
Not yet has just become next Tuesday at 9 o'clock. Not yet has just been put on my calendar as this day I will do this. And it's amazing. It happens when we put it in writing on the calendar. We know it's not like I wake up this morning, I'm not sure when confession is today, so I guess not yet. No, I know when confession is because when I put it on the calendar, I had to put a time with it. And it's at 2 o'clock and it's over at Our Lady of Good Counsel Church and I will be there. You know, that sort of overcoming, pushing through that not yet avoidance mode by recognizing that in every other sphere of my life, I manage well this way. I ought to apply it to my spiritual life too.
And I think the thing that struck me as you were speaking was the good in it, like to find the reason why we should be doing it or why we're being called to it and to find the root of why we're avoiding it. You know, for me, confession, I avoided because I was chicken. I was like so nervous about going, but I didn't know because I hadn't yet studied or read anything about confession other than I was supposed to go so I wouldn't go to hell, which is really just such a small piece
Yeah, not motivating.
No, it's a healing. And I never, you talked about putting, you know, doctor's appointments and dentist appointments on the calendar. And I go to stay healthy, to stay physically healthy, to have my teeth stay healthy. So I put confession on my calendar to keep me spiritually healthy because it heals. That's the point of confession. It's not that, you know, I get out of hell free card or, you know, because I have to embarrass myself by telling the priest all the stupid things I did, and there's usually a long list of them, but because the Lord is calling me to heal me. And I think that is, I think when we get to the root of why we're avoiding something, and sometimes that leads us to procrastinating, which we're going to look at again in a minute, it's, I think it does help us get over or through that wall or break it down, because we get at the core of why we should be doing it and why we're not doing it.
And at the core there is, again, saying, what do I really want? Mm. What is really of value and important to me? What do I really feel God is asking? And so, you know, there's two sides to that coin, which is saying yes to doing the right thing, but it's also saying no to doing what may not be wrong, but what may be standing in your way. So when we look at, well, are we having time to do, let's say, you know, it's my goal and I know that I should have family dinner time a couple times a week. And that's a good thing. I feel called to it and I want to make that happen. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't also then volunteer to be on a committee that's going to meet at dinner time.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good point.
Or I can't also then, you know, think that I can sneak a run into the grocery store on my way home from work and still have a meal ready. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I have to look at both sides of that, which is, what's doing that, you know, not yet and stopping me, but then what am I also putting in the place where I need to say, oh no, I can't do that because I've already chosen something else.
Right. And I think that leads perfectly to one of the reflections on page 78 that I really loved, a little thing called time. And so you start with the first word, the first sentence. So there's this little thing called procrastination. And you really hit the nail on my head anyway, when you talk about how this world has kind of created some new ways for us to procrastinate with Facebook and now in Snapchat. And there wasn't enough places for me to find like I used to read books or, you know, watch television. But now I have Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and all of these different things vying for my attention that if I am in avoidance mode kind of adds to.
Yeah, they do. And I think that the thing to look at, just step back and say, you know, these things are not inherently bad. They're not inherently evil. They're not trying to trip me up.
Yes.
But they can, and they will, if I don't maintain mastery of them and of myself. So, you know, I did this exercise. I want you to go through, what is the purpose of this app on my phone? What is the purpose of this app? What is the purpose? You know, and am I using it for that purpose, or am I allowing it to do what many good things will do, which is take over? It's in that taking over that they become bad, essentially. So, you know, if I know that I should be cooking and I'm spending all my time on Facebook and just going through and through and through, or I'm supposed to be at work and instead I'm sending a Snapchat. Like, it's not the vehicle that's wrong. It's me who's lost my discipline in my perspective. And so I think procrastination is really that we just haven't kind of become masters of the time that we have and chosen first what we want to put into that time and what we want.
And that really does steal your peace, because then that to-do list still is there. The deadline is still there. The commitment is still there. And your avoidance of it steals your peace, because then it's still hanging up for me anyway. It's hanging over my head. You know, yesterday, I actually did send a Snapchat to my friend Sarah Reinhart, and I'm like, you know, scanning the to-do piles around me. You know, I had some books I needed to read and review and some writing to do. So my computer's there. And then I scan over to the television and you can see my feet lying on the couch. And I said, and here's what I'm actually doing.
Oh, well, you know, like looking, okay, we've got Thanksgiving coming up and we had Advent and then Christmas and, you know, a whole run of a beautiful time of year to celebrate. And I wonder, at least for me, maybe for others too, like I have some concrete things that I love to do. I love to make cookies with everybody on St. Lucie's Day. I love to be sure that there's St. Nicholas stockings out on St. Nicholas Day. I want to get the Christmas cards out in time for people to get them in this year, I hope. And I have some other real ambitions and things that I think are important to me. Well, if they're really that important, I'm not going to procrastinate. I'm going to look now, today, at my schedule, and I'm going to put them down. And I'm going to say, I'm going to do the Christmas card this weekend. I'm going to make sure that before that happens, I back up and I say, I've gotten the family picture the week before that printed so they can go in the card. Oh, wait, I have to actually order the cards. Okay, I'm going to do that 2 weeks. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's...
Go through and first put in our schedules what we really want and have that piece to have chosen it. And then when the whole rush of things come in, the school calendar, the party here, or the everything else, it's going to fit around what we already had decided to do. And we're going to have to say no to some things, but we're going to be peaceful about it because I'm going to say, I really can't go to that Christmas show with you that weekend because I'd already put on there getting my Christmas cards done. So unless I want to give that up, which I can, of course I can, but I know what I'm doing then, right? And I'm not going to lose peace either. I'm going to say, I'm giving up my time to get my Christmas cards done so I can go to this Christmas show with my friend. And I'm going to have peace about it rather than be like, oh my gosh, I'm so busy. I can't go have cards done. And then there was this show and blah, blah. You know,
right.
No, really. You are not a slave to everything that comes your way. Peace is a master.
And Jesus said, I come to bring you peace. When we come back, we're going to find out more about finding God's peace with my guest today, Heidi Bratton. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking this morning with Heidi Bratton. We're looking at her book, Finding God's Peace in Everyday Challenges, 100 Meditations for Women. One of those is mine. And if you want to hear about it, check into breadboxmedia.podbean.com. The November 10th show where I read it out of the whole thing, and it's not that long. And I kind of gave you some background, some of the stuff that Heidi had to edit out because I'm a little prolific, and her book, you know, it would have been the whole book, really, if you had taken my whole story. But I'm just so grateful that you included our story about faith and the peace that the Lord gave me in that moment when she was rejecting me, and really quite quite honored to be a part of Finding God's Peace, Word Among Us Press. Go to HeidiBratton.com or WUA.org for more information on this book where you can purchase it. Of course, we always tell you to first and foremost, look at your local Catholic bookstore. If they don't have it, you know, you can tell them that you'd like it and they can order it for you. So if you're looking for it, somebody else is probably looking for it or would be blessed by finding it as well. So Finding God's Peace. Heidi, tell me a little bit about... something in the book that maybe we would be surprised to find.
Well, you know what? Actually, let me back up for a second. So I did want to just say, I guess actually a really big thank you, Allison, for what you shared about your experience with your daughter, because in that meditation, you talk about her actually, you know, throwing up on you.
Yeah.
And the thing is in our lives, as we grow, and as I've become, and my oldest daughter is going to be 27 in 2 weeks, and my youngest is 8. So I've got this breath of children and children's. I just pluralized that. That's weird.
It's my fault. Welcome to my show. This is how I talk. It's all my fault.
Oh, goodness. You know, on many different levels, in many different ways, moms and dads experience rejection, the kind that you were talking about with your daughter when she first met you and you had not bonded yet and you were worried, would you ever? As children grow up and as they move on and as they become themselves, there's this really odd thing in that God gave them free will as well as you.
Yeah.
And it's been my experience that they don't necessarily just take all the beautiful blessings you had planned for them and incorporate them into their life. They do their own thing. And that can feel like rejection a lot. It can feel like you've been thrown up on.
It's true.
And so I really appreciated when you shared, you know, how that made you feel, but what you did with it, more importantly, was bring it back to the Lord and say, but I know I'm here in this time, in this place with this person for some reason, and I will not regard the throw up on me as a sign of anything but being alive and being a part of this relationship, which isn't perfect right now. I will regard your grace, Lord, and I will regard the ability that I have to love through this as greater. And we need to do that with our kids when they're rebelling, when they're 2, when they're 12, when they're 16, you know, that whole thing. Like, we need to see that even when we feel that rejection, the Lord is with us and can give us that internal sense of peace in that relationship and just giving back to it, you know, pouring that love in where we don't find any, like that retreat's going to be about. Because that's, you know, that's what Mother Teresa says, is that we don't treat people based on who they are or what they can do for us. We treat them based on who we are. And who we are is beloved daughters of the King of Kings. And when we, in the book, when we look at that relationship first, and I try to say, you know, a peace within our relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the first step towards peace in all the other places that we want to find it. Our human relationships, our homes, our schedules, how many things we have or don't have, you know, our finances. And I want to make sure that your listeners know that I really believe in that one small turning of our heart, turning towards the Lord instead of away. And one of the meditations in the book is called Even the Slightest Turn Can Make a Sizable Difference. And it's about when we're on the freeway, right? And we're all heading in whatever direction that is, and with 4 lanes. And then we see the sign and an exit is going to be coming up. Well, when you're going 70 miles an hour, at least out here, that's the interstate speed limit, is 70 miles an hour. It's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. If you think about it, it was 55 when we were kids, and now it's 70. That's crazy.
But we're going to have to negotiate that exit off the freeway a little bit at a time, aren't we? We're going to have to just, in slight degrees, change our angle to get onto that off-ramp. And that off-ramp is actually going to take us in 360 or 80 or 90 or wherever we need to go to get where we want to be off of that freeway. Well, if you want to get off of the freeway in the upcoming holidays of just massive activity and stress and lack of peace, if you want to get off that freeway, you can make one little degree of turn and do something that will then lead to the next little degree of turn. You don't have to reject the whole highway or do it all at once or just jump the rails, right? No, you're going to hurt yourself. Please don't do that. But make that one degree of turn and you'll see that just like a freeway exit, you will get where you're going in those little turning of degrees and decelerating a little slower. So as the holidays approach, I really recommend something very simple and small, like get an Advent wreath and light it. It's a small thing to do. If you can't get an Advent wreath, get a single candle that smells awesome, you know, cinnamon or pumpkin or mistletoe or, oh yeah, pine tree, evergreen.
Yes.
And light it, okay? Let that be your one small turn towards faith. When you light it, say a prayer, Lord God, be with me today. God, be with my kids today. And then, you know, maybe the next thing is I'm going to slow down on Sunday afternoon and make more substantial meal, or I'm just going to put that candle on the table. You know, there's another small and slight turn. So this finding of God's peace doesn't happen in one big bite. It happens in a lot of little bites, in a lot of little turning yourself to the Lord and then watching how it impacts those around you. You'll be amazed. Your kids will sit down, have a candle at our table. I'll share with you our most beautiful family tradition.
Love to hear it.
It's my favorite thing. Every Advent, we have candlelight dinners.
Oh, that's nice.
Every dinner is in the pitch black, and the kids, when they were young, would run around the house and make sure that every little LED was off.
Love it.
No lights at all. And we would start the meal in complete darkness with the Advent wreath in the middle. And every one of our kids has a day which we pray for them. It's called their prayer day. On their prayer day, they would light the Advent wreath after we sang in complete darkness, O Come, Emmanuel.
Oh my gosh, that's, I got goosebumps. That's beautiful.
It's the most beautiful, and it, you just can't imagine what it does to bring us to center, bring us to the real meaning of Christmas. I don't put bumper stickers on my car, bring, you know, the real meaning of Christmas, blah, 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 blah. I really believe that for me, living it in that singing of O Come, Emmanuel, lighting that candle is what's going to help my kids go out and know the real meaning of Christmas and spread that where they are. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's my way of bringing peace into that season, which is so rich, and spreading that peace just very organically, very naturally. And so I just want to encourage listeners, if you're listening and you want this more of God's peace in your life, start with one small thing and let that build to the next. Let that influence those around you. Let them ask, huh, why is mom doing that? And then answer, well, because I want more of God's peace in my life. So I'm starting here.
That's a great question. So if somebody is saying, I don't know where to find God's peace, where is the place to start? Definitely. I love, oh my gosh, I'm writing like frantically all the things that you're saying here, though I couldn't go back and just listen to the podcast on Breadbox, breadboxmedia.podbean.com. I like writing all this stuff just frantically. I'm writing an Advent column for Monday. So you're very helpful, Heidi. Thank you.
You got it.
So, and I will give you credit, I promise. So I'm very good at quoting other people. But so where do I start? Like from even, do I start on page one of the book? Do I look at the topics? What do I do?
Sure. Well, okay. So my editor was really brilliant. I had it all organized and, you know, like these are the seven areas where we want to have peace. We talked about them. And so let's put them in chapters and you can go to the chapter that you're most interested in. And she said, no, what you're on or what you're big about, right, is marbling the faith into your life. Mm-hmm. So I want to marble all of those topics into one in the book too. So they're not separated out. They go, you know, just as they go, basically. And in that, you actually have the freedom to experience what God wants for you today instead of you are choosing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It is beautiful. It's a beautiful way. So, you know, the best way is just to open it up and read. You can open up anywhere. When I encounter books like this, though, I tend to go front to back because I'm afraid I'll miss one if I just keep opening to anything, right?
That's true, yes.
So I do tend to go front to back for a book like this. And if you choose to read it that way, I really do believe that you open, before you open the book, you just pray, Holy Spirit, show me today what little bit of peace you want for me. And then open it and read. And I believe that it's very scripturally based. If there's not a scripture quoted in the meditation, then there's one at the end for you to look at. And that scripture is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, something that will penetrate deep into your soul and feed you and give you what you need for that day. So just one at a time, trusting in the Holy Spirit's inspiration to give you that day, and then go through your day thinking about that one aspect. Don't try to cram it all in. They're very short. So I've had a lot of people say, oh, I read it in, you know, a week. Which is great, and you can do it, but then to go back and just open them up one at a time and let yourself ruminate on them, chew on them, think about them. Let the Holy Spirit really show you where to apply that. I think that's probably the best way.
I think, Heidi, that's the best way to end our time with you this morning. Heidi Bratton, HeidiBratton.com. Her book, Finding God's Peace in Everyday Challenges, Word Among Us Press. So blessed to have Heidi with us this morning. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Redbox Media. Get the app, change the world.